So let's just pray over the word this morning. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the authority that it has in our lives. God, we thank you that you're going to meet with us and speak to us this morning as we look into your word in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, in Titus, we see in my Bible as well that it's a short book. It's quite short and sweet and to the point. And the Apostle Paul here is teaching. He's teaching men and older men and younger women and older women. And for the sake of Mother's Day, let's look at what he says to women. So in Titus chapter 2, verse 3, it says this. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way to live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. I just love this thought, to be reverent in the way that you live. I feel like today sometimes that word is neglected or overlooked. You know, how do we be reverent in the way that we live? How do we approach or address God, which would show him reverence? Reverence shows our relationship with knowing who God is and how we respond to him. Do we respond to him accordingly? And let us look at this word reverence a little deeper, as I believe it's something that we have let slip away in today's culture. I really want to just kind of resonate and land on reverence today. What does that look like? Let's go a little bit deeper this morning. So if we were to look in the Old Testament, if we were to look at all the times it refers to reverence in the Old Testament, it's actually two Hebrew words. The two Hebrew words are yar and shahah. Now again, I mean, have fun trying to pronounce that, you know, correctly, but there they are. And the root idea of yar is fear, which is used to express the attitude towards God. You know, often we would read, you know, fear the Lord. But it's a healthy fear, not a fear of like, oh my God, you're scared, like a scary movie. Like, do you fear God in a healthy way? So in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 30, it says this. It says to observe my Sabbaths and have reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. So we're to have reverence, we're to, in a sense, a healthy fear of the Sabbath, we're to take the Sabbath, and a healthy fear of God's sanctuary, God's holy place, the church. It also says in Psalm chapter 2, verse 11, it says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Serve the Lord with fear, with reverence. As we serve God, we're not, oh, serving God is painful, or, you know, just give up my time again. No, to serving with reverence, like, yeah. Like, I'm serving God, I'm serving the Creator. This is exciting. You know, you serve the Sabbath. When it comes to taking a day off, it's like, well, you know, if I can schedule it in, if I can find time. No, like, have reverence for the day off. And we think about the sanctuary, we think about the church, we think about God. Oh, just like, I love the church. I'm here alone, though. I get to see you hopefully sometime soon. But again, to have fear and reverence, but a healthy respect, a healthy fear and a healthy reverence for the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 1, it also goes on to say this, verse 7. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Ooh, that just resonates with me. I love Proverbs. The word encompasses the concepts, again, of like fear, but again, a healthy fear, awe or reverence for something. And the root of the second word, shahah, is falling down or, you know, getting on your hands and your knees. So we're to have a healthy fear of God, and we're to get on our hands and our knees in the presence of God. So it used to express our position toward another who's superior. When you come to somebody that's superior to you, do you get low? Do you get on your hands and your knees? It kind of shows like you're surrendering. You're being humble, your humility. And again, it would show reverence for that person as we get on our hands and our knees. So that's the Old Testament. If we were to look into the New Testament, I won't even attempt to pronounce the Greek words. There's three Greek words that would, again, refer to reverence in the New Testament. But it encompasses the idea of modesty, to be subjective, to be considerate of oneself, that you consider yourself inferior to the person you're giving honor or reverence to. That we are inferior next to a holy and perfect God. Does that sell? Do you have buttons? Do you have bumper stickers that would say that? You know, that we would have a healthy fear and reverence for God. We would humble ourselves. These kind of t-shirts don't sell on the market. They would be on the sales rack, you know. But let's just look at reverence for God. Just a real sense of awe and a sense again of healthy fear of God. We see in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. You see, it encompasses it right there. As we worship God, we worship him with reverence and awe. I know sometimes when I'm worshiping, the experience that I get is that, you know, it's not my favorite song. Or the band is, you know, I actually like the drums, you know, like, oh, there's no drums in this song. Hard to sing along to. But when I think about who my God is and the reverence and awe that I have for my God, I need to put those things aside. And I just need to get on my hands and my knees and just have reverence and awe and a healthy fear again of my God. You know, as we approach Mother's Day in a sense today, I'm hoping you're enjoying. I hope somebody's made you breakfast. I hope you've got a nice cup of tea or coffee. Hopefully you're just relaxing in your house. But I want to look at women in a sense in the Bible, some great stories here that would help us to understand, again, reverence for God. In 1 Peter chapter 3, we'll read verses 1 to 5. It says, "Wives, in the same way be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words, but by the behavior of their wives. When they see the purity and reverence of your life, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful." Do you see the difference between an outward and an inward thought processes, or a reverence of outward and inward? There's three things I want to take away from the scripture. So 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, it says this. It says, "Your beauty should not come from an outward adornment." I've got a very good friend of mine. His son is a model. You probably wouldn't notice him in any kind of magazines or anything because he's just the parts of, that they take pictures of. You know, they don't take pictures of his face. You know, he's an underwear model. But, you know, he's got a very, you know, six-pack and all that kind of stuff. So he's in the field where he's around supermodels and all these kind of things. He actually travels around the globe to just put on certain garments, and they take pictures of him and they put it in magazines. That's what he does for a full-time living, and he's very good at it. He's making a lot of money. And my friend says to his son, he said, "You're getting a little bit older. You know, have you found a wife or a woman that you would want to bring home?" And he's just saying that these individuals that he's around, these supermodels, you know, trying to have a conversation with them doesn't go very far. "I don't want to, you know, bring them home to you, Dad." Now, that's a pretty broad statement. Now, this is just what he said. I'm not saying that all, you know, good-looking women have nothing upstairs. I'm just saying that that's what he shared with me. And I just thought, this is what the scriptures are talking about, though, that having an outward adornment but not worrying about what's inside of you, that's an opportunity. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, it says this, "But instead," I love this, you know, "instead," or "therefore," these kind of words, "it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a quiet and gentle spirit." Now, we shouldn't get so black and white, though, that we don't care about the outside. You say, "Well, I don't care what I wear, I don't care about my hair, and I don't care about showering," you know. These kind of things you should, you know, spend a bit of time on. But it's saying that what's more important, what is a great worth in God's sight, is that you focus on the internal. You worry about, you know, having a gentle and a quiet spirit. And why is this so important? The third point here is going to just hit a home run for you, women. Check this out. This is an amazing piece of scripture. Why is this so important? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, it says this. they may be won over without words, but by the behavior of their wives. So that men and husbands could be won over, not by your preaching, but by the way that you live your life. There's nowhere else in Scripture, especially for men, that even talks about that. But the way that a woman lives could win her husband over. That is huge. Wow, what a statement. Let me help you understand so that we kind of get a grasp when this was written, the time and the context it was written. Understand the time when it was written. When a man became a Christian, he would bring his whole family to church. That's what would happen. If a woman became a Christian, she would go to church alone because she had no rights. Under the Roman law, the husband had absolute authority over all the members of his household, including his wife. I'm not saying that's right. I'm just helping you to understand the time and the setting that when it was written. Women at the time had to be careful that preaching to unsaved husbands might cause or endanger the marriage if the husband wasn't open to the idea. So women had to be very careful. And the Apostle Paul is saying, be careful that you don't just preach to your husbands and then they kick you out of the house. But let your lives speak to your husbands and they might come to Christ by the way that you live. Oh my word, that's amazing. Thank you, Jesus. So as we live with awe and reverence for our God, as we say, I want to lift up God's holy name and I want my life to be an example of that, their husbands may come to Christ because of it. What a beautiful, you know, DNA kind of like blueprint of how to live, eh? Oh, that's great news, eh? It goes on to say in verse number 2, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 2, to live of purity and of reverence, to live just a pure and holy life, you know, in awe and a holy fear, a good, healthy fear of our God, could bring your husband or could bring others to Christ. Woo, that's fantastic. Because if women focus on the external, they could really seduce men in a wrong way. But if women live internally, just praising God, they could bring people to Christ. Instead of pushing them away, they could bring people to Christ. That's just a wonderful thought. We could just say amen and close right there, but let's keep going. So we have reverence for God. How do we have reverence for Jesus Christ? Let's look at that. It is popular today and politically correct to be tolerant of all other religions, and to be open toward all other beliefs and all other ideas to the point of almost not insisting that one belief or another is correct. Yet Jesus clearly states he is the only way to heaven and eternal life. Watch what it says here. Reverence for Christ is adhering to that, to defending that, and to proclaim that, to boldly proclaim that, have reverence for Christ. Watch what it says here in John chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, verse 6, it says this, Jesus answered, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is a bold statement. That is very, very, you know, in your face and pretty straightforward. It also says, if we flip back to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says this, but in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and with respect and in a sense with reverence. So yes, we believe that Jesus Christ is the only way and he's the truth and he's the life, but don't beat people over the head with that kind of a thought. But don't bow down. Don't water it down. Don't be afraid to speak truth. Have reverence for God. Have reverence for Jesus Christ by honoring him for what he did on the cross for you and I. And do not be afraid to share that and to share that boldly. That would have reverence for Christ, to hold his name in high regard. How do we have reverence for ourselves? What kind of things would we do that would help us to have reverence for our bodies? Here it says in 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 19 to 20, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own, but you were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Therefore, have reverence and awe for what God has given you, because it's not your own. God is, in a sense, almost lending it to you. You can just use this body. And if you have a problem with your body, you can ask God about it, pray about it. He might be able to help you fix it. But God has given you this body. What are you putting into? What are we putting into our bodies? Are we having reverence for what God's given us? Or are we grieving the Holy Spirit in a sense? How do we treat our bodies? Are we working it to death? I've had seasons in my life where I feel like I'm tired. I've been working. I haven't been sleeping. I haven't been taking the Sabbath. Are we stressing it out? You know, God says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's enough of it to worry about. Just worry about today. Are we allowing ourselves to see things and experience things that are not healthy for this body? Really big challenge for us. In Psalm chapter 139, verse 14, it says this. I praise you because I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful and I know that full well. How do we have reverence for ourselves? We understand that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're not an accident. It wasn't a mistake that you came into this world. God made you and he formed you and you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And that's how we have honor and we have reverence for God, is that we understand that. So let's just look for a moment just before we finish is a false reverence. To have some false reverence of, you know, pretending to be almost. False reverence is when we put on a persona that we're God-fearing people, but we live in a way that shows a carelessness towards Christ and his teaching and his word and his commands. False reverence can also look like an outward show of righteousness and religiousness, but inwardly, you know, a contempt and a disregard for what God is trying to teach us. Why would this be so important? I mean, it's a pretty easy answer if you think about it. Well, obviously, you don't want to live like a fool. You don't want to be, you know, go to church and then come outside and you're just swearing. Like, that would be brutal. Like, what a great testimony. But I want to go a step further. I mean, that's just a basic answer. But let's go deeper. Think about this. Having a genuine heart toward God, instead of having a false reverence for God, allow Jesus to be heard by his Father. Listen to this in Hebrews chapter 5. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, it says this, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because it was Jesus. He was heard because of the words that, oh, Jesus, eloquent words that he shared. Was it any of that? He was heard because of his reverent submission to God the Father. That Jesus Christ had reverence and awe and a healthy fear of God the Father, and God listened to his prayers and his petitions. Brilliant, isn't that? So good. So how can we practice reverence today? That we would treasure, that we would honor God, we would honor Jesus Christ. And in Exodus, we look at the Ten Commandments. We look at the third commandments in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, it says this, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. When we think about the name of Jesus, when we think about God the Father, and we think about the Holy Spirit, you know, is that just something we kind of just use loosely and just kind of like, well, we just throw it in there so often? Or when you just hear the name of Jesus, like it says that every knee will bow at the name of Jesus. Like that's an awe and a reverence and a submission that I want to come under. That just at the name of Jesus, that things will change. So there's just a reverence again. So when we look at God, you know, we think about, well, I want to praise God. I want to praise his name. I want to praise Jesus. I want to put Lord as the Savior. And when I pray to him, like, do I really think about that? When I come into God's presence, do I have reverence for it? I just kind of like throw up a prayer, like, oh, quick, I got to get to work. I got like 5 seconds here. I got to throw up a prayer real quick. Before, you know, God bless my day, quickly, out the door. Or when you think about, when you come into God's presence, like, do you have awe and reverence for him? That's a deep thought for you today. So in the same capacity, when we think about Mother's Day and we look at, you know, mothers and we're thinking, do we have a healthy respect for them? Do we have reverence for them? Do we thank God for them? Are we praying for them? I mean, what a blessing your mother's been. What a blessing You know, your wife has been, what a blessing. You know, the mother to your children has been. We have reverence for them as well. And I pray in Jesus' name that that would be happening today for each mother. So let me just close in prayer. And then after you watch this, I'm going to be basically knocking on your door and hopefully dropping off some flowers this afternoon. So God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that we want to just honor you today with our lives. We just want to have reverence for you, God. We want to submit ourselves to you. God, we want to come low. We want to come humbly. We want to get our hands and our knees in front of you. God, we just cherish you. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's a pleasure to have you this morning, whether you're watching on our YouTube channel or checking us out on Facebook or watching us on our website. May God bless you today and this week in Jesus' name. See you later.